Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I have a guest across the way making her first appearance on the show. You know, I tell you what, it's an amazing legacy, the just gigantic shoes you have to fill out here at WFIW. You understand this, right?
I understand, absolutely.
As my guest this morning is replaced a year and a half ago, Dave Savage, who was out here monthly and would talk for, all you had to do was like hit a switch and Dave would talk for a little while. You pull a string. Basically, and he talked for a while, and I kind of thought we'd let Jill get her place and get a chance to get herself settled in. Now that you've been superintendent a year and a half, it's great to have you on the show. Jill Fulkerson, the superintendent of FCHS. How you doing, Jill?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me, and good morning to everyone.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. We're going to talk about all kinds of things affecting FCHS right now, what's coming up, what they've completed. Might even talk about some of that park testing stuff. I know we talked a little bit about that with Superintendent David Mills a couple of weeks ago, and there are certainly things affecting FCHS as well. When it comes to that, it's not just at grade schools. That affects everybody, doesn't it?
That affects everyone, yes, K-12.
What would you like to start with first? I see that you've got an assembly. Is that today?
Well, it was supposed to be today, but unfortunately, our guest had to cancel out. We had a guest lined up through Gateway Services in Carbondale. What we did was we looked at our needs, and we felt like one of the needs that we really wanted to address with our kids was the K-2 issue that seem to maybe have. And I don't think it's overly prevalent in our schools, but I do think it exists.
Well, that's the thing also, Jill. It is, I mean, the reason you bring, people just don't know what's going on out there, do they? And, you know, schools have to teach you're kind of trying to fill the gap because parents don't know what K-2 is, do they?
They do not. Absolutely do not. And K-2 is a very, very scary drug.
What is that? Tell everybody what that is. They call it synthetic marijuana, but it's not really that, is it?
It's more of a, you could just say a synthetic combination.
Substance of some kind.
Of some kind, because they use everything from Raid bug killer to items that from under the sink, such as Comet, things like that. They just use all kinds of different things to develop these substances, and absolutely, they are very, very dangerous, and the students, kids, young adults don't realize how dangerous they actually are, and they can be very life-threatening.
So, really, the smart thing is, to me, what you're doing here, other than did he get snowed in or something, couldn't make it in?
He could not. He was actually coming from Gateway, and he was bringing one of his clients to talk with our students. And they are not permitted to travel with clients in inclement weather. So yesterday at 2:30 when we were making the call, he did cancel on us. And we didn't cancel on him. He canceled on us. But we have every intention of rescheduling this.
Are you going to be able to get it? Yeah, I was going to say, do you have a date planned on when you're going to be able to get the guy back in?
Not yet, but we will immediately. We'll get him.
I can only assume, I'm asking you for confirmation, that this kind of substance abuse assembly will be not only just to educate the kids on what this substance is, what it is. The teachers have no idea what it is either.
Absolutely. It's as much for the teachers and the staff as it is for the students and the parents. If parents want to come, they would absolutely be welcome to come. We do have, what we had planned was to do two separate assemblies, one for our freshmen and sophomores, and then one for our juniors and seniors. That way, it makes it a little bit more intimate,
sure.
And the speaker can talk more and have more question and answer time, and it works out well when we've done that in the past, is divided up our student body, but parents would absolutely be welcome. So we will, I believe it was on our website before. If it wasn't, we will definitely put it on our website for the next time that we have it scheduled.
When you have such assemblies as these that are, I mean, it's outside of the realm of what you probably thought the teaching was going to be when you entered the profession. When you have such such assemblies and requirements as these, it's very imperative to get the parents involved too, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. And we send out a monthly newsletter from our guidance office. Mm. And in that monthly newsletter, we always address things like drugs, time management with the parents. I mean, just all kinds of tips that might help our parents with our students. So Lori Robson and Becky August at the high school take care of sending that out. And they put out a lot of really good information, and that comes out monthly.
Now, tell everybody else, tell everybody who doesn't know Jill Fulkerson where you're from.
I am from Carmi, Illinois. I graduated from Carmi Community High School. That's how long ago it's been.
Whoa, way! That's CWC. Come on.
Well, it wasn't when I graduated. So I then went to SIU Carbondale and got my bachelor's degree. And
all
then
right.
I got my master's degrees from Eastern Illinois University.
Did you go immediately from SIU into teaching and then get your master's on the fly while you were teaching, or how does that work?
That's exactly what I did. I actually started teaching at Mount Vernon Township High School. I taught there. I taught family and consumer science, and I taught there for 11 years, during which time I got my master's degree in counseling. And when Julie Duncan left, I came over and replaced her, during which time I went back and got my master's degree in
administration.
Then when Josh Ebner left, I stepped over to the principal office. And
I got to tell you, that you hear the name Josh, whenever I hear the name Josh Ebner, I just think, was that guy really here?
He was. And I still talk to Josh every once in a while.
Where is he now?
He is actually back in Springfield, and he's retired, but he's actually still working.
Oh, really?
He is teaching at a private elementary school, or he's actually the principal at a private elementary school there in Springfield.
I got to ask two questions about teaching in Mount Vernon.
Yes.
First of all, they're building a new school.
They are.
Was it necessary? Do you think it was probably time for a new school back when you were teaching there? Or was it close?
It was very close. I actually happened to be in the newest building. That's where my classroom was. So I didn't have a lot of issues. But in some of the other buildings, the buildings were very distressed. They were didn't have air conditioning, and I know people didn't have air conditioning back in the day.
Sure,
I understand all that, but they didn't have air conditioning. You know, they just didn't have the facility that met the needs of 1,200 students that they have. So I'm very happy for them. I hope that they have great success in their new building. I think it's great for Southern Illinois, period.
I wonder if it sounds like you went directly from having taught at Mount Vernon to joining to the administrative side after that, to the guidance and into administrative. What led you to want to leave the classroom? To ask a personal question.
Well, part
of
my...
Do you mind that?
No, I don't mind it at all.
I told you I was going to ask you anything.
That's okay. That's quite all right. Part of my bachelor's degree was the family and marriage counsel, the marriage relationships.
Uh-huh.
That's part of family and consumer science. So whenever I was there, I knew that I wanted to. And career services, that's also a little bit a part of family and consumer science. So I really knew that there was that interest there. And so I really wanted to, I felt like I wanted to go to the counseling because I wanted to serve students in that capacity. I wanted to help them with their careers, help them with relationships that they might have, and just make them better characters.
And so the administrative side, you're not only seeing the 50 or 60 or 100 kids that you're seeing in the classroom. You're in charge of 600 kids.
We have about 415 kids. I have 60 staff members. And then, of course, you could say about 800 parents.
Yeah.
Not in charge of.
I was going to say.
Definitely not in charge of.
How much contact is there with parents? The reason I ask, and you already said that, folks, you already kind of mentioned that, you know, people didn't have air conditioning 30 years ago. Well, I didn't either. But 30 years ago, my parents talked to my teachers maybe twice a year. And the only contact really with the school was four times a year. You'd have the first term grade cards through the second, third, and fourth term grade cards. And other than that, they didn't really talk to the teachers or school much. It's a little bit different from that nowadays, isn't it?
It is different. I encourage my teachers to talk to parents. I think that provides just a communication line for students and parents, and I think that that helps in the education process. But I will tell you, there are those students who we don't talk to their parents much. We don't have to talk to their parents, but there are those students that we talk to their parents sometimes on a daily basis.
And also, you know, I about called it marketing. It's not really marketing, but it's helping get the word out, these newsletters and your website as well, right?
Right, absolutely.
Talking with Jill Fulkerson, she's the superintendent and principal at Fairfield Community High School. We'll be back and talk a little bit more. I'm going to ask her exactly how deep the snow has to be for her to call off school, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Don't know much about history, don't know much biology, don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took, but I do know that I love you, and I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Don't know much about geography, don't know much trigonometry, don't know much about algebra, don't know what a slide rule is for. But I do know one and one is two. And if this one could be with you, what a wonderful world this would be. Now I don't claim to be an A student.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. My guest across the way over there is Jill Fulkerson. She's the superintendent and principal at Fairfield Community High School here in Fairfield. First time on the show. Like to make it so you'll be out here like every week now, right?
Sure, absolutely. If you want me to, sure.
Maybe we'll make it a little bit more often than after you've been on the job for a year and a half. Maybe more often than a year. How are you enjoying it, by the way? I should ask, how are you enjoying your year and a half on the job now?
I love it. I absolutely love working with the kids. I love working with the teachers. I have a great staff. I really like it. And I really feel like Fairfield it's an excellent place to work. It's a great community. And I know that we're five different schools as far as a district, five different districts, but we all work very closely together, and I appreciate that.
That to me is the interesting thing also on how, and I'm gonna ask you about it, because whenever Fairfield Community High School figures the school is too bad, the buses don't need to go, the rest of them do too, typically, don't they?
We work together, yes. We get a group text going, and we work together, and there are occasions that some of the country schools can't make it, but we still can, but it's very rare. North Wayne, sometimes, maybe they're not,
right.
They don't have as much weather as what we do, but often all of the Wayne County superintendents work together.
And is that right?
We actually
You'll get
do.
Calls from Jeff and...
Jeff and Julie Healy,
right.
And we all... We do.
How do you figure out what's the call? I've been wondering this since I was 5 years old. How do the principals and or superintendents decide it's time not to go to school?
Well, I get a lot of help from my transportation.
I bet you get a lot of help, yeah.
I get a lot of help from my transportation director, Dennis Gifford. And he's a tough one. He wants to go at all, you know, as we all do.
Yeah.
He wants to go. So he really puts a lot of time. He drives the roads, as well. I do. I drive the roads sometimes too. It just depends on when we're making the call.
Yeah.
I have, even though I live in Carmi, I have headed up here at 4:30 in the morning before.
Yeah.
So,
just to see if you can get
here. Just to see if I can get here and to see what the roads are actually like. If we deem it unsafe for the buses, that's the main thing. If the buses are going to have trouble getting around, we're not going to go. We're not going to chance it. We've got time at the end of school. We can make the days up.
That was what I was going to ask next. How many days do you get now? It seems like it's a occasionally floating requirement on the number of days that the state gives you to be able to take off, right?
We build in 5 days. for emergency days. And then if you go past 5 days, often the state will grant you an act of God day. They don't have to,
sure,
but they can grant you act of God days that pass those 5 days. So we do err on the side of caution,
sure,
obviously. The most important thing is the safety of our kids.
Well, so, like yesterday. I mean, it was pretty slick yesterday, it was time to make the decision to send folks home, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And there were some reports that were giving 5 to 8 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have to look at those things. You have to consider, you know, if we stay much longer, we're going to get kids stuck here. I have student drivers,
yeah,
so that I have to consider. I know that the grade schools don't have that, but I have the student drivers, and I really have to consider that, because sometimes they don't always think real hard when they're out driving, and or they haven't had experience,
right,
driving in the snow. So I have to really give that some thought as well. So yesterday we just decided around 11:30, we decided it was time for everyone to head home.
Tell me a little bit about, I mentioned earlier in the show, we were going to talk a little bit about the changes in testing and how that affects your scores and how the scores are perceived. It's not the changes in testing not only are it's not only against not you're not only judged against who is testing here, you're judged against everybody in the country, aren't you? Now,
absolutely.
How does that work? Tell me about the PARC testing.
Well, the PARC test is it is the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers.
Okay.
That's what PARC actually stands for.
And this replaced what?
This replaced the PSAE.
Oh, okay.
Which was comprised of
That was the juniors test.
That was the junior test. That was the ACT and the Work Keys test.
Okay.
And it was a combination of those two scores.
And that was the one. Is that a different test from there used to also be an Armed Forces test. Do you still take that one too?
That's the ASVAB.
I see.
And that is different. And the students aren't required to take that. And we do not require the full junior class to take that. But students can take that. That is an option for them.
What kind of a percentage take that?
Not very many, just those that are interested in the military.
Well, you know, that's a shame, because you would think that might give a kid a kind of a leg up at practice, wouldn't it?
An idea of where they might be going career-wise.
Sure. Sure.
I think it would be. You're,
sure,
you're exactly right.
Okay, PARC testing now replacing the PSAE. And the ACT.
Right. And the PARC testing, the purpose of it is to line up with the Common Core Standards or the Illinois Learning Standards. And so the PARC test does more of an application-based problem. In other words...
How do you mean?
I mean, the PARC test asks the kids to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's not just on a math problem. It's more of a word problem than a regular math problem.
Story problems.
It's a story problem.
Oh, that stinks.
It the kids would tend to agree with you.
How horrible now.
No, the kids would tend to agree with you. And actually, we just rolled out our PARC practice series last week, and we heard a lot of grumblings from the students.
Really?
But yes, and we just talked about that this morning at our curriculum committee meeting, and how the kids were really really resistant to work on this. But like we told them, our only goal is to prepare them, to get them so that they're not alarmed when they open that. It's because the PARC test, we do it on the computer. So all of the students are tested on the computer.
See, now that's new too, right?
That is new. And that is a challenge for some of our students. Even though they're very computer literate, the challenges that come and the hurdles that come with this computer testing, when you have 70 kids on the program and it kicks this one off and then it kicks that one off, and
oh, yeah,
then this computer doesn't even come on. Yeah, it is challenging.
So you're dealing with different things other than just walking into a room with a pencil.
Absolutely.
And getting handed the sheet with the little holes
bubbles.
You got to fill, the bubbles to
the
fill
bubbles.
In.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Well, how long have you been doing that? How long's the changeover? It started, what, 2-3 years ago?
Actually, last year was the first year for they could practice. Schools could practice the year before. We did not. Last year was our first year. And
okay,
I will say that when I talk about computer hurdles, we have minimal computer hurdles. Mark Leasty does a great job,
yeah,
for us. And so I don't want to make it sound like all of our kids are being kicked off the computer and the program and that kind of thing, because that's not happening. But when you have even a few, it still makes it challenging.
Makes it a little bit more difficult to deal with.
Yes.
Is the grading of that seems a little different too, doesn't it? You're not being judged. If I understood what Doc Mills was telling me, and I'm trying to remember, I think you're graded not against just the people in the state of Illinois. You're graded against everybody across the country or across the world, right?
Well, those people that took the PARC test.
Oh, actually, I see.
And that actually is not. We're down to not a whole lot of states are still taking the PARC test.
So what's it going to move to? He said it's like down to six states or something,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
What are people moving on to?
Actually, I was at a meeting yesterday morning early, and then I had to leave because of the weather. But actually, the new it's Every Student Succeeds Act, and it comes from the NCLB. That's what it's replacing. Okay. And it actually is saying that in the year 16-17, we are going to be, which is next year, we're going to be making our way into possibly a situation where local districts can choose their assessment. So we could go back to the ACT next year.
And tricky is it to be? I mean, it sounds like a moving target.
It is a moving target. You're exactly right, Bruce. And to define curriculum to line up with those tests is almost impossible.
So you're looking at one school that might be teaching apples and one school that might be teaching oranges, and then trying to figure out which one's being more successful at selling bread.
That's a very good analogy.
I mean, yes. That's kind of what it sounds
that's
like.
That's a very good analogy.
Huh.
Yes. So it's been a little bit frustrating, and I probably would not be the only superintendent or principal that would tell you that.
I was going to say, what are you hearing from other your peers? Because I'm assuming that you had meetings yesterday, and you've got continuing education all the time. You talk to peers all the time. What do you hear from those folks? What are other schools doing?
Well, other schools are doing exactly what we're doing. We're preparing preparing the students the best that we can.
Sure.
For the PARC.
Sure.
But we're keeping our eyes and ears open to where if that assessment option changes, we're probably going to look at the change. We will, I had a curriculum committee meeting this morning, and I talked with my teachers, and we would look at going back to the ACT and the work keys.
Yeah.
I just feel like with the ACT, that targets the college-bound student,
yeah,
and the work keys targets the career-bound student.
Right.
So I really feel
like... So you're covering both bases.
Absolutely. And
really no other base than those two.
No, and I think that's a good fit for us.
I thought I heard something the other day that the SAT was replacing the ACT. Is that in Illinois? Is that actually happening, or how? Because Illinois has been a bastion of the ACT, it seems like to me, forever.
You are exactly right. And SAT now has the contract with Illinois, and schools are accepting either the ACT, colleges,
right,
are accepting either the
See,
ACT.
In 1983, I took them both. Because I just wanted to make I wanted to see if I could get a better score on one, and if you get a better score on one than the other, you turn in that one.
Absolutely,
that's what you do. The tests are relatively similar, but they're different too, aren't they?
They're different. One is more the ACT is probably more for the math student, where the SAT is probably more for the English student, but colleges are accepting either one, and what they do is they convert. If they have an ACT and they would rather have the SAT, they convert it to an SAT score and vice versa.
So if Illinois is switching over to the SAT, will we have our juniors taking all SATs in February or March, say, of 2017 now? Or how long does that conversion take?
We will give them the option of taking the SAT, yes. And we are trying to...
What are you suggesting? To the kids.
Kids?
Which one's going to be better for them in the long run?
Well, I would say it would depend on their strengths.
Yeah.
I would say if they're stronger in math, I would probably suggest that they take the ACT, whereas if they're stronger in English, they take the SAT. And we are an ACT testing center.
Mm-hmm.
We have ACT tests on
have
the weekends.
Have been for 50 years.
And we are working on becoming an SAT testing center.
Oh, okay.
So Lori,
yeah, that makes sense. I'd go to Mattoon to take the SAT. Yeah.
Lori Robson is working on that. She's contacted SAT or the College Board,
right?
And she is working on becoming an SAT testing center. We think that benefits our kids.
I would think
test.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, I would think so. How with the new park testing and whenever the scores start coming out, how were you surprised by the results? Or did you foresee with the changing in the grading styles that the scores may not be where you were expecting?
I was a little surprised that the scores weren't as high as what I was kind of hoping for.
Yeah.
Of course, I always have high hopes, you know. But I was a little disappointed that the scores weren't where I expected them to be, and so we had a board meeting last Thursday. I announced to my board that I am going to become the official park cheerleader.
Is that right?
This spring.
And P-A-R-C-C.
That's right. That's right. And so we are really working on some incentive programs for the park. We have we had a parent park meeting last week. Yes, where we invited all the parents of the junior students to come in and receive information on the park. We have posters around the school that say "Keep calm and park on." I ordered some new calculators. One of the complaints that I got was that the only calculator that they could use was a TI-83, which is a graphing calculator, and not all of our students had that. So I ordered enough calculators for all of our students.
Be able to share.
I ordered one for everyone.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. I made sure that we had some Title I funds that I was able to use for that. And so I ordered a calculator for every student that's going to be taking the park this spring. So we're doing some things to try to improve the whole outlook of park. I want it to be something positive for the students. I want it to be positive for the teachers. And so, like I said, I'm going to be the official park cheerleader.
Well, it sounds like you're taking a proactive approach at it.
Absolutely.
I'm talking with Jill Fulkerson. She's superintendent and principal out at FCHS here in Fairfield. We're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on this spring when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I've got a guest across the way, Jill Fulkerson. She's the superintendent and principal at FCHS. All right, now before we get to, we're going to talk about what's going on. How much time do you spend superintendent and how much time do you spend principaling?
Well, last year I spent more time doing the superintendent than I did doing the principal work. I was getting familiar with what I needed to be doing.
And explain to people what the difference is between the two.
Well, the difference in the two, the big difference is the superintendent has to look at the financial aspect of the district and how the teachers are spending their money, if the state's sending the money.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yes, thank you. whereas the principal does more with the curriculum, works more closely with the teachers, and like I said, last year I spent probably more time on the superintendent part of it, but this year I'm being allowed to spend a little more time as principal and with curriculum, and I'm glad for that.
Do you have a part of that, that you prefer over the other, or are they both relatively, I mean, they're part of your jobs either way?
Right.
But,
I probably prefer the curriculum.
Do you?
But I also know how important the other stuff is, so I spend a great deal of time on that as well.
You said we have 415 students.
Yes.
Is that size typical to have the, or as time passing, are more schools going to the superintendent / principal method as opposed to two different people in the jobs?
Some of the smaller schools are going to that, yeah. Yes, as the funds are limited.
Right.
That is one way that you know, you can cut
sure.
an administrative cost. I will say that Mr. Wells and I spend a lot of time at the school. So,
yeah,
I mean, we do, even though it is a way to cut costs, it's a lot of extra time
sure.
too. But we don't either one mind it. We work hard and we enjoy what we're doing.
Let's talk a little bit about what's coming up. Every year, it seems, the Podolskys have gotten involved in a nice trip. Tell me about the trip to Washington.
The trip to Washington, D.C. is available to all Wayne County seniors. They actually leave the Wayne County area on a Friday night, and they come back. They actually get back on a Tuesday morning while they're there.
So 3 days.
So it's they're
counting 30 hours of driving.
Right, right. But that is done at night, and uh-huh. the students typically sleep during
yeah.
that time.
Yeah.
They get to visit all kinds of different exhibits, and they go to the Capitol building.
How's the funding for this? Is it 50% Podolsky organization and then 50% per student, or how's that
yes,
work?
That's exactly what we do. Podolsky donates $25,000, which, while we're here on the air, thank you, Mike
yeah.
Podolsky. Such a great experience for our students and just such a great opportunity for them. Then the students pay the other 50% themselves. This year we have about 65 seniors that
yeah,
are...
Yeah, that was my next question. I was wondering how many of... I'm doing the math in my head on how many students, seniors would be eligible. You look at probably about 100 or 115 at FCHS. Maybe
about
95.
About 95.
95 at FCHS, probably 20 or 25 at each of the other two schools.
Mm-hmm. There are 111 from all three schools that are signed up to go.
That's a nice run.
Yes. Yes.
Why would anybody choose not to? I guess work or something like that?
Maybe work. We have people out there that, you know, money is not – we hope that money is not an issue for anyone.
Yeah.
Because we have – people out there that help out with that.
Yeah.
You know, I've had...
Well, the opportunity is just for somebody, if I was going to go to Washington, D.C. for 3 days, I'm going to spend a lot more than what this is going to cost.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Per kid, what are you looking at?
It's about $650 per student.
And is that including, or is that half of it?
No, that's the whole trip.
So basically, the student has to come up with
$325.
Wow.
It's a great deal.
Does that include some food?
It does include some food. It includes their transportation, their all of their meal or all.
Their
I think it
board.
Does, yes, their board.
Their room,
and then it includes several of their meals. Yes.
Where are they going to go in Washington? What are they going to see?
They are going to Arlington National Cemetery. They're going to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier,
yeah.
which is phenomenal if
yeah.
you have never seen that.
Like I just told you, I've never been to Washington. No, I've never seen it.
It's wonderful. the National Archives, they're going to Ford's Theater. They're going to visit the Martin Luther King Jr. National Memorial, the Smithsonian Institution. But the most important thing that Mike wants the students to experience is the Holocaust Memorial
yeah.
Museum. And that is definitely an experience. And that's what the kids come back and talk about.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And this is the third year of this? Or I'm trying to remember, third or fourth year?
At least the third. Maybe the fourth.
Do you ever get to go on that trip? Or
I have the option. I mean, I could go.
You have.
I have not gone with that group. I've gone with the Scholastic team,
okay.
which is a very similar
Let's
trip.
Talk a little bit about the Scholastic team. They're finishing up their year pretty soon, I guess.
Yes, they're headed to regionals. I believe Ms. Austin said they were at Newton, and they are March the 7th.
Are they going to be able to make their trip? Occasionally, they qualify for some national event.
They do. They're not going to Washington, D.C. this year. They're going to Texas, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So they've already qualified?
Yes, they
have. I'm assuming then that the ghost team stuff will be, they're going to be putting on their fundraisers.
Absolutely, yes. They will be doing that in the near future. I don't have a date on that, but they'll be doing that in the near future, Miss Austin. Probably as soon as she gets finished with Scholastic Team, and then this weekend she has Math Team.
Tell me about Math Team. Because you hear about Scholastic Team. You never hear anything about the Math Team.
Right. The Math Team goes to Eastern Illinois University this weekend for the ICTM Regional Math Contest, where they will participate in Algebra 1 and 2, Geometry, and Pre-Calculus. There are individual and team events. And again, Tammy Austin is the
sponsor. How many kids go up?
I believe there are approximately 30.
Really?
Yes.
Your math team is 30 deep?
I believe it is, yes. Unfortunately, three of our students had to go out of town for family emergency.
I thought maybe they'd sprained a finger on the calculator or something.
No, they had to go out of town on a family emergency. Well, so we're hoping they get back by tomorrow because that will round. They're three of our top students.
Well, you need them.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about I know that there's a play coming up.
There is a play coming up. April the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, I believe, is when that is.
Donna called me the other day.
Donna Reaver, yes.
We've set up a day for those kids to come out here and talk about this. This sounds like a lot of fun coming up, isn't it?
Yes, Treasure Island. It is. I don't know a whole lot about the story, but
Robert Louis Stevenson.
It is. That's exactly right. It's a Robert Louis Stevenson, and it's the playwright is Joseph George Caruso. And we have about 12 cast members.
So have they started working on that yet?
Yes, they sure have. They work almost every night on play practice.
Really?
Yes. Yes, they're very, very excited about this. Actually, the kids helped to pick this number out.
How'd that happen?
I worked with the kids.
Yeah?
Miss August worked with the kids, and Mrs. Reaver worked with the kids, and we just got their input, and this
just
was...
Just kind of found one you thought might be interesting to them.
Piqued their interest, and it did, and this is what we're doing, yes.
Is that one of the things that you try to do, two or three of the things that you've talked about today? It seems like you've gotten a lot of the kids' input on decisions that... to me, used to be or very seldom would not have been done. Is that something that you're trying to do?
I do that as much as I possibly can. That's why I'm there.
Yeah.
My most important role is to meet the needs of our kids and to serve them the best that we can. And so I think that it only makes sense to get their input.
Well, you get the buy-in on it, don't you?
Absolutely.
What are we looking for in the spring? What's coming up spring sports-wise?
We've got spring sports. We've got...
You got to replace coaches coming up. Frontier keeps taking away your coaches.
You're exactly right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you should have seen her sneer.
Yes, we have baseball coach Billy Rogers, and he has a new assistant, Hayden McDuffie.
Okay.
We have our softball coach, Tanya Conrad, and a new assistant, Jenna Turpin. Of course, our track coach, Justin Townsend, and Sally Kirk. And then we have a new assistant coach, Tim Ukina.
I bet you're hoping that the Frontier doesn't come out with a track team.
I'm hoping that. Exactly, yes. You're exactly right, Bruce. The girls track team.
Makes your life tough, or makes Bobby's life tough, I'll bet.
The girls track team is actually going to Marion for an indoor meet this Friday.
Oh, really?
The boys are going to Carbondale for an indoor meet.
So it started up.
It has started, yes.
I didn't realize when does baseball start? Have they got the bats and balls out yet?
They have started practicing baseball and softball, yes.
Oh my goodness. Time flies because that means we're going to all have the sun shining on the baseball diamonds pretty soon.
Exactly.
I just can't get over that. What's what else you like to talk about? I've got like 30 seconds for you. You've got a new set of kids coming in every year. That's the amazing thing. You got freshmen. You got registration coming up.
Registration's coming up this summer. Actually, it is July the 26th and 27th.
For the freshmen too.
We've actually already started. We've got those freshmen registered.
Oh, that's the Mule Mania. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. Well, the Mule Mania is August the 10th. And that is for our incoming freshmen, and they come in for an entire day. They learn the school song, which is very important, I think. They log into their computer. They find their classrooms. Mrs. Robson does a fantastic job with the Mule Mania, and I encourage all of our 8th graders to attend that.
Jill, time has flown by.
It has.
Thank you so much for coming and sitting with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. And Bruce, I want to make one more comment if I can. I really appreciate and I want to compliment you and all of your staff that cover our ball games, our girls' ball games. I just really, really appreciate that, and I know the parents appreciate that, so I thank you for that.
Thank you very much for the compliment. That's very kind. That's Jill Fulkerson, superintendent and principal out at FCHS. That's Bruce Dickey Show. See you again tomorrow.